That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360, sportsnet.ca/590, and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, hey, happy U.S. asterisk Thanksgiving. Nobody wants me to say happy Thanksgiving. We're all enjoying football. Some of us will eat turkey tonight. Is it that hard to get a pumpkin pie before 4 o'clock Eastern? We're about to find out. Pumpkin pie's on me if we can find it, honestly. Although we may want to eat lunch first. So let me tell you a little story about how sometimes your record isn't your record. There's extenuating circumstances in sports, right? In other walks of life. There are a lot of bands. I'm known as like an 80s music guy, right? So I love a lot of the stuff from there. But I'll give you examples. There are so many of them. I don't even have to name bands. Really popular for 6, 8, 10, 12 years. And guess what happened in 1991? You know? You remember? Grunge. Everybody wanted grunge. Everybody wanted Doc Martens. Everybody wanted flannel shirts. Everybody wanted angst. Everybody wanted spitting and scratching and acting like generally a ticket scalper outside the ACC. A lot of spitting and scratching. You ever notice that? So bands kept making the same music. Some of the songs were just as good. Some of the albums, they'd send it to the record company. The record company's like, yeah, this is exactly what we want. Keep doing what you're doing. Nobody bought them. I'd say it's a little bit like that with the Toronto Raptors, because it was tricky looking at a team and you're stressing it out last week when they're losing games on the West Coast going, is this a 500 team? They're about to get to 500. Then your record, right? Not necessarily. They're back to 10-6. They've won three straight, and they beat the team we're all basically giving the conference title to. We're just giving them the conference title in Cleveland. Now, Timothy Mozgov's out. They're not exactly in full sync. LeBron even called a players-only meeting. But it's a big step forward. The Raptors got through a tough, tough trip and even won the last two games, both the Staples Center against the Lakers and the Clippers. I know everyone's beating the Lakers, but Clippers is a good win, no matter how badly they play. Bottom line is this. It still looks like an Atlantic Division winner. Doesn't mean you're a third seed or even a fourth seed anymore. But it's okay to be 10-6, three straight wins, and get back on the Raptors train.
This is Brady and Walker. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. On TV at Sportsnet 360. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Got something to say? Say it on Twitter at Brady and Walker. Or text 590-590. Now here are Greg Brady and Andrew Walker.
You know what? Honestly, I was in a great mood. Three NFL games, all in Sportsnet. It's feeling fit. You can't even give me heart-shaped box. It's the way it works sometimes. A little new order, simple minds later in the show. We'll make up for it. We're gonna right this wrong as to how we've started today. No Andrew Walker. It's Greg Brady solo. Hope everyone's doing great. It is a great day to cut out early, call in sick. I've been looking at my corporate email box all day. All day. All damn day. Looking for an email from Mr. Guy Lawrence. Because you know what he did? He said when the Jays were playing playoff games and stuff, like playoffs. If you get your work done, not even that. Sometimes you get that on Christmas, right? Everyone's going, you know what? If you get all your work done before 1 o'clock, you know, if you eat your Brussels sprouts, you can have some cake. If you get all your work done by 1 o'clock, you can go home early. The Jays playoffs was, hey, screw the work. Just go. Don't even come in. Don't be here. If we see you here, we'll think less of you as an employee. I don't see that for U.S. Thanksgiving football, but we'll live. By the way, the Lions have just taken the lead 6-0 over Philadelphia. So you can have me on in the background. Watch along. Split screen it. I'll keep you posted on Lions-Eagles. Dallas and Carolina are on Sportsnet, by the way, at 4 o'clock. And the late one tonight is Packers-Bears. Bears haven't been very good at Lambeau Field. Not one bit when it's Cutler and Aaron Rodgers. And they'll go tonight at 8 o'clock. It's hard to know what we used to do, but it's a great day to take off. I think there's three great days on the sports calendar. And there's the first day of the NCAA basketball tournament when games start at 12 noon. I'd love to, someday I just want to be on the West Coast and have those games start at 9. I don't spend enough time on the West Coast, covered a few NHL playoff series, gone to Super Bowl, some NFL playoff games. I've probably only gone west of Las Vegas once for fun. One time. Vancouver for a couple weddings. Kind of illegal weddings, if you will. And I love sports at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. But today's a great day. The first day of the NCAA tournament, as I mentioned. I'm not sure opening day, even in baseball, matches up. It's exciting. It's a bunch of games on. It's very early. It's usually cold. Hitters can't hit. Pitchers dominate, except in dome stadiums. But you got to go back to 2006 when it was the first triple header. That's hard for me to believe. We've only had the triple header. It feels like we've had it for 25 years. We've had it for 10. Denver played Kansas City at night, and everyone's like, is it too much? Call me now. Is it too much football? It's not. It never is. So another triple header today on Sportsnet. So everyone's written about this, and I'll start here. Sherm Hamilton's coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's talk about Drake. Not Dallas Drake, former Stanley Cup champ. Let's talk about the rapper Drake. I don't know a third Drake. Seinfeld guy, Drake. Everyone wrote about Drake last night. Not for the same organization. Michael Grange wrote about it for Sportsnet. And Dave Festchuk wrote about it in The Star. And Cathal Kelly wrote about him in the Globe and Mail. Most of the perspectives are the same on this. But I was talking with our producer, J.D. Bunkus, earlier. Co-host of Free Association, the podcast. And so he's very, very into the NBA. And we were arguing vehemently. Like, he started sending me emojis, and I just started sending exclamation marks. Like, it was sort of a man versus boy thing. It really was. I really had to put him in his place. I'm not one at all to raise my hand. Like, the Adrian Peterson stuff, that stuff makes me sick. But it was sort of a text slapdown. Because he wanted to talk about, and I was going to come in and talk about Drake today. Based on the influence of him, it was Drake night last night, and they wore the uniforms, and they're 3-0 with the uniforms, and it's a big night. Listen, LeBron's here twice a year. It's still a big night. It's a big night when the Cavs come in. It was a fun game. It was great to be there last night. I wasn't, but I know lots of people that were, and they said, yeah, it's the most fun we've had at the ACC so far this year. Maybe for Raptors or Maple Leafs. You never know for people who go to both. But the influence of Drake, and let me clarify by noting this. People get caught up very much in celebrity. I'm really fascinated by some celebrities. Now, depending on the job you do, certain types of celebrities don't turn your crank anymore. Like I've interviewed athletes. Athletes don't, how do I put it? You realize after a long time, after you've interviewed hundreds of athletes and you've traveled with pro athletes. I was on a Detroit Pistons bus caravan. We went all over the state of Michigan. That was when they were tough time selling tickets. It was the first year after Grant Hill left. And you're sitting on the bus with, you know, Joe Dumars, who's the GM, Basketball Hall of Famer, Ben Wallace, Chucky Atkins, a lot of these new Pistons. And they were just going to schools and, you know, business meetings. And like, please pay attention to the Pistons this year. And you realize that they're real people after a while. And I've never had that. Like Wayne, I'm not joking. Wayne Gretzky could walk in right now. Is he? He's not. Wayne Gretzky walking right now. I'd sit down. I've met him before. I'd go, here we go. Let's have a chat. It's Wayne Gretzky. Now, musicians do make me go a little bit gaga / giggly. So I understand. Like, if Prince comes in, forget about it. Right? I mean, that's been established on this show. On shows I've done in two cities, in major markets for 18 years. I love Prince. I love Prince. But I'd feel the same way about Bruce Springsteen. I'd feel the same way. Chris Martin could come in for Coldplay. I think he's a really interesting guy. We talk a little bit about Gwyneth Paltrow. Point is this about Drake. I think we think athletes, pro athletes who sign $28 million contracts and have a couple more zeros on their paychecks, more than us normal folks, are as interested in celebrities as we are. Magazines are in trouble, right? A lot of people worried about magazines. I like magazines. I'll keep buying magazines. I have magazines in my house. You may not. Younger people than me may not buy magazines like they used to. That's a given fact. I still think they're going to exist. Newspapers, I'm not sure about. Magazines will, because they're more in depth. There's pictures. There's information. Popular magazines include magazines about celebrities. What do they put at the checkout at grocery stores? It's not Good Housekeeping. It's not Sports Illustrated. It's not even Rolling Stone. People, us, National Enquirer, stuff worse than that, okay? So there's a fascination with Drake. I got it. You're fascinated by him. But let's talk tangibly about what he does for the Toronto Raptors. What does a global ambassador do for the Toronto Raptors? And I'm curious to get your thought. How much of a positive is Drake to the Toronto Raptors? 416-870-0590. I'm going to lay out what I think in a sec, but I want to hear from you. 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. And you know who we're not asking? We're asking you, the fans, because the fans are the conduit to the players, okay? The players are the conduit to management. Management, conduit to ownership. There's a bit of a, pardon the phrase, caste system here, right? It's a bit of a balance. So I think I'd rather Drake was the global ambassador than not. Because you know what? It makes people feel good about the city. I love the city of Toronto. I think it's fantastic, okay? I shouldn't have to explain that. But I think people who know and listen to the show, whether you love it or hate it, you're interested in it. And I think I'm a little more of a realist than some people about what Toronto is and what it isn't. And we'd be lying to ourselves. We all admit Toronto has had a tough time drawing free agents, in the NBA especially. More so than even baseball, because baseball's had its runs. Baseball may yet have another run with the Toronto Blue Jays, where people go, it's awesome, it's fun, it's a great lineup, 46,000 people there, the fans are passionate, they're young, they treat me, they're saying hi everywhere, they're nice to my wife, they're nice to my girlfriend, whatever, it's great. The Raptors haven't had that. Not even, people weren't falling all over each other to sign as free agents to play with Vince Carter, okay? You had guys on the back end of their career, they were interested about the place. They wanted to find, I mean, you still got the legendary players, right? Charles Oakley's a legendary player. Not an all-time great, but a very good complimentary piece on some really, really good teams. I'm very, skeptical's too harsh, but I'm not glowing about Drake being able to recruit. When I hear recruit and Drake in the same sentence, it bristles me a little bit. I don't think that's a thing. Are you more inclined to take a phone call? Maybe. Are you more inclined to visit Toronto and have dinner? Yes. That's a huge difference. Players seem to love visiting Toronto. That's all you hear about visiting players. But remember, athletes speak. Be careful of it. Everybody always ends up saying the right things. Because you know what? Random NBA player. Let's say Patrick Patterson gets asked, where do you not like going? I hate going to Milwaukee. Hate it. It's so boring there. Well, that's on Deadspin in an hour. Okay, you can't hide your comments anywhere now. He could have said it 20 years ago and nobody would have noticed. And we all would have gone, yeah, I know, Milwaukee, blah. And I like Milwaukee. What does Drake do, and can he influence? And this is my argument, is that he cannot influence free agents, winning, losing, coaching, management. And that's okay. No one is asking him to. And there's many, many examples. And I'll buy this. J.D. Bunk has made this point. He's a very smart man. Well thought of by management here, more so than others. And he made the point, celebrities, people, the players notice celebs in the stands. And I do believe that. I think if you're a Brooklyn Nets player, you could whisper on the sideline and go, Beyonce's in the third row there. You'd notice that. But I'll give you Chicago, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen left to go to Jordan retired. Pippen goes to the Houston Rockets. They win their third straight title. Was there a great, lots of celebrities go to Chicago Bulls games. They do. Chicago's a well-known town. Oprah's lived there most of her life. A lot of players signing with the Chicago Bulls after, not, no? You don't remember all those great Bulls years between 99 and 2? No, I don't either. I know the New York Knicks. My God, on a given night, you got John McEnroe and Tom Hanks will go to, he'll go to Rangers games. He'll go to, any, besides Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire, has there been any, no? Well, you'd think that because, sorry, like it's great. You'd rather have John McEnroe at Knicks games. You'd rather have Pete Sampras at Lakers games and the big one, Jack Nicholson. It doesn't make Players Inc. on the dotted line. It doesn't. It hasn't. It never will. You think it's cool. Like you think it's really neat. But it doesn't change where guys are going to spend, decide to spend 6 years. City matters. Money matters. Winning matters. Celebrity fans, way down the list. Way down. But you'd rather have Drake's doing good work for the Raptors, good work for the city. I'm all for it. I'm not against it. I'm for it. But I'm telling you what it can do and what it can't do. Sherm Hamilton in a little bit. Raptors win last night over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Peter in Oakville, go ahead. You're on Brady and Walker.
Yeah, I think Drake does definitely help. I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think a lot of these guys, they don't know anything about Canada before they come here. He makes the unknown known. And that's what everyone's scared about, the unknown. He's made Toronto a lot cooler than it was before. It kind of adds into their perception of Toronto. He basically has made an unlevel fit playing field more level.
Yeah, I think it's closer to that. And guys will pick up the phone. And that's the point, JD. I mean, I agree with it. You're picking LaMarcus Aldridge picks up the phone. He's a max player. Whether you agree or he is or not. He's the one that got away from the Raptors. Great contract. San Antonio signs him, says you'll fit right in. Now, not a lot of celebrity fans in San Antonio. Different story. I got that. Small town. Everybody knows you. And this isn't like the NFL. Some people on Twitter are trying to make NFL parallels. Aaron Rodgers is there 4 or 5 months out of the year, plays 8 home games. That's not playing 8 home games in a stadium of 60,000 like he will tonight against the Bears is not playing 41 in more of an intimate setting. 18,000 is still an intimate setting at the end of the day. The LA Clippers couldn't get free agents. You're still in LA and you're still playing at the Staples Center. It's a great facility. You can get traded from the Lakers to the Clippers and live in the same house. Obviously you can. Golden State. You know where it wasn't popular to play? Golden State. Do you think players want to play in Golden State now? They do. If you're a big, if you're a four, you want to be the net, you want to sit, you know, you want to take Andrew Bogut's role, play playoffs for 2 or 3 months for the next 5 years? Sure you do. You're happy to do that. A few more on this. Joe and Vaughn, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Tell us what Drake means to the Raptors. Just some nice window dressing. It's a good thing for the city, good thing for the team. Or do you think it can affect wins and losses? Go ahead, Joe.
No, I think it's a great thing for the team. And with all due respect, I think you're missing the point here. I think it's not about being a celebrity. It's about hip-hop culture. And the NBA is all about the hip-hop culture. And Toronto has this huge hip-hop environment. And I think Drake is the ambassador to that more than anything.
How does Jay-Z affect the Brooklyn Nets and their success? How does he do that? He's an agent and he is in on the team. So how does that help the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, I think that he's pretty new owner still, and the effects of that remain to be seen, to be completely honest. But I think Drake gives some credibility to the hip-hop culture of the Raptors. He's out there. He's in with that crowd, so to speak. And I think that's what the NBA culture is all about.
I agree. It is cooler to be a Raptors fan, but that's all I'm saying is I think this is more for the fan than it is for the 11, 12 guys that suit up every night. Is that fair?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you need to be in that culture to kind of understand it. I'm not going to pretend I understand all of it, but what I'm trying to say is, I mean, people don't understand that Toronto is a very up-and-coming, let's hip-hop, popular culture town. And I think the players who come here, I know they might, it's all the athletes speak and so on and so forth, but they'll be the first to tell you they love the nightlife, mm-hmm. the party life, what it means. And I think all of that plays into an athlete's decision to say, I want to live there. I want to be a part of that. And I think Toronto now, more than ever, is on the precipice of something special when it comes to that. And I think Drake, being the ambassador, can push us over that edge. And he can pull somebody like a Kevin Durant over here if that's what a player is looking for. I think Toronto has everything to offer in that respect.
Yeah, it's cold weather. I don't think cold weather factors in quite as much. But everybody has different feels. I've been asked before, they say, where would you like to work in the States that you haven't? And I go, yeah, man, Boston's great. You can get around in Boston. Chicago's great, but you can't get around in Chicago. Denver's great, but I'm not fussy about snow. Like, I want less snow. I'm 44. I want less snow in the second half of my life than I had in the first. This global warming thing, I'm not for it, but it is helping that. but it's not, I'm not, by design, like, I don't want Gore-Tex. I don't like the feel of it on my skin. I don't like shoveling. I don't like snow tires. So there's a lot there for players to think about. And players with families have different needs than players who don't. Manhattan's not that, it's not that attractive to people with big families to sign for the Rangers, the Knicks, the Yankees. But you go there for the money and you go there for the culture of the team. There's no question about it. Our friend Sherm Hamilton's Raptors analyst for NBA TV. He joined us. Now, we were just discussing the impact, Sherm, of Drake on the Raptors. I know it's a good thing that he's part of the team. I know it's appreciated and it's put Toronto on the map. It gives the Raps some credibility. I'm not sure it can ever translate into free agents or wins and losses. Would you agree with that, or would you say we've yet to see it out all the way?
Yeah, I think we have yet to see it out in this environment in Toronto. When you look at the basketball culture, it's intertwined deeply with music in terms of hip-hop and R&B and things of that nature. And Drake is one of the biggest artists in terms of rap artists out in the planet. So there's no question that these guys listen to him. They know who he is. They know about what he does. And there's always that athlete that wants to be a musician of some sort and a musician that wants to be an athlete. And that's the relationship that's there between Drake and the NBA players. So will he influence anybody directly to become a Raptor? I don't think we can ever determine that. There's so many factors that go into a player making a decision to play in a certain city. And you listed some of them, family, you know, you're single and all those things. That kind of stuff builds into it. But there's no doubt in my mind that if a player is thinking about Toronto, Drake could have some sway in terms of leaning that player in the direction of Toronto. I just think that he's got a connection to these guys, and they respect what he does, and he absolutely respects what they do. And that goes a long way when you're talking to people on that level.
Well, like people are implying, LaMarcus Aldridge didn't have to give all of the 29 teams but Portland the same ear and the same listen to a sales pitch. But he did include Toronto because of Drake. And like I said, he may have needed to see more winning. He may have needed to see more of this and that. But it's a start, because I think we agree 5 years ago, maybe in the Colangelo era, LaMarcus Aldridge might not pick up the phone for Toronto, might not be interested.
Right. And I think when you think about LaMarcus Aldridge, again, players have different reasons for going to different places. And LaMarcus obviously wants to win a championship. And when you look at a model franchise, you look at the Spurs, what they've been able to do in terms of consistency. So, you know, it just depends on what time of your career you're in, what your goals are, both individually and team-oriented. And a lot of times the dollars will dictate some of that. So there's no question, you know, LaMarcus listening to Toronto is definitely an indicator that Toronto is a player when it comes to big agents. And like you said, a few years back, it might not have been like that. But the reality is, until the Raptors capitalize on a major player, then it's going to be a team that's always going to show, players are going to show interest in, but they've got to consummate a deal at some point. That's kind of the direction that they're in. They're making the steps to be that type of team. And to hear that chatter and to know that high free agents are trying to consider Toronto, to me, that's a step in the right direction.
Sherm Hamilton, former Canadian international player, joining us on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, the fan, Sportsnet 360. I'm probably approaching this wrong because I covered the Pistons for a long time, and their best fan was Bob Seger. So I'm not sure Rasheed Wallace and Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton thought 68-year-old Bob Seger was cool. I could be wrong about that, though. You never know.
Yeah, you're right. You could be wrong, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that that's probably not the first song or first artist on their iPod.
A phone call from Bob Seger, and people just, hey, it's an old man. He's in his 60s. He's got the wrong number. He's dialing from a rotary phone. So that's hanging on the wall, and he's speaking into it. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell us how the Raps have looked to you post the Jonas Valanciunas injury. It's probably too easy to put together and go, well, of course, they're not better off without him, but has Dwayne Casey compensated and done things differently in his absence?
Yeah, well, he has. He's had to. You know, Jonas plays such a huge role in the Raptors in terms of how they flow offensively and especially defensively. And I think what Dwayne Casey's been able to do, and he's done a great job of this, is he's elevated some players but not extended them. So a guy like James Johnson will get into a game and he'll play a certain amount of minutes, but he won't play him long enough so that other things can happen. You know, he inserts a guy like Bismack Biyombo into the starting lineup, knowing that Bismack is going to bring some things consistently, in terms of defense and rebounding and setting screens. Well, guess what? That fits in the starting lineup. And I think the guys around the team, you know, around the Kyle Lowrys and the DeMar DeRozans, all those guys that are playing minutes have been able to up their game just enough, not play out of character, but raise their level just a little bit to kind of compensate for Jonas not being there. And to me, that's what your leaders need. Your leaders don't need to carry the complete load. They do need to shoulder most of the load, but other guys need to step up a little bit. And Dwayne Casey's done a good job of inserting and giving guys minutes in different rotations with different guys, and they've been able to answer the call over the last two games.
Yeah, Biyombo got to start Sunday, brought in 14 rebounds against the Clippers, matched up well. It's easy to look and say, but I feel this, to wonder, what the Bobcats slash Hornets were doing, giving up on him, but they got to see him for 290 games. Like, we're still early in this, so they may have been very, very frustrated. And as you know, where a guy's drafted factors in. Fans will boo. They're more likely to boo a sixth overall or eighth overall pick than they are a guy that they got off free agency, right?
Yeah, you're right. And it's interesting because it's not supposed to accelerate their learning curve depending on where they were drafted. If a guy's going to develop in 3-4 years, then the guy's going to develop in 3-4 years, regardless of where he's drafted. And it's one of those things that a guy like Bismack Biyombo might have been miscast. They probably thought that he was going to become a better scorer in a shorter period of time and expected more offensively. But now he's in a situation where his defense is his calling card, and that's appreciated, and that's what's needed. So he can fulfill that role because that's his strength. Maybe in Charlotte he was trying to be put into a position where they wanted him to score a little bit more, and he wasn't ready for that. And they probably said, okay, we're going in a different direction. But having said that, it's a great indicator in terms of being able to make sure that you're drafting players that fit what you need, that are the best available talent, and that you're able, with your fan base and management, to have the patience to allow that player to develop. The first few years in the league for a player, it's just a whirlwind. Guys are trying to figure out who they are the first year. So once everybody settles in, you can kind of get a clear understanding after seeing them practice, seeing them in games, and getting a feel for the personality of the guy. Then you can figure out, kind of project where you want him to go with realistic goals for the young man. And I think that Bismack Biyombo, as a defender, to me, he's growing very nicely for the Raptors.
Sherm Hamilton, our guest, Brady and Walker. Same thing with the Scola signing. It's an astute signing. You're getting a 35-year-old. You're not getting him necessarily in his prime, but I'm looking at Indiana, who's figuring a lot of stuff out with a healthy Paul George, and I'm doing the same thing there, he's playing so well here. I thought he guarded Kevin Love great last night. Love only took the 14 shots, but he didn't have that many other opportunities to shoot. I think Scola has been a great fit here.
Yeah, Scola's done a good job, and then he's been able to score as well. You know, he's a strong guy, and I think we saw it on Sunday against the Clippers. Blake Griffin, trying to back him down, really couldn't gain any ground because Scola is that strong, and he does a great job in terms of keeping himself in tip-top shape. He's in the weight room. He's strong. He's a very skilled guy. He's just not going to wow you with athleticism, but he's going to think his way through. He's got great footwork. And the reality for Indiana, now Paul George is playing the four spot, which is where Luis Scola would have played. And that's just kind of the flow and the style that Indiana wanted to go to, a quicker pace. And we've seen early in games Luis Scola being able to be a very methodical scorer for this team. And when you talk about a team like the Raptors that are more guard-oriented, they're kind of on the attack off the dribble, a guy like Luis Scola who can go into the blocks and slow things down and get you something, but can also step out to 18 feet and also to the three-point line and make plays, that adds a lot of balance. And it's the style and the fit in an organization going in a different direction, so they change their style, and that puts players out. And that's kind of what happened in Indiana. But, hey, good for the Raptors, because the reality is they needed some production at that four spot. And now they're getting it from Luis Scola on both sides of the basketball.
Before you go, all of us who've made the odd mistake on social media and didn't get back to it in time might relate to James Johnson. He sent out a tweet last night that noted he felt he was underutilized. It's basically a one-word tweet. Are you disappointed an NBA player would do that? Do you get the frustration? Would he have to explain this now to the coaches and to his GM?
Absolutely. And once it's out there, it's out there. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but the reality is he's expressing himself. And this is what social media does. It gives everybody an outlet. The unfortunate thing is we have to stand up and answer the questions when we say things. And for James Johnson, I can understand his frustration from the standpoint of this is a young man who's very talented. He has multiple skills that can help this team. But at times he kind of gets out of character, and I'm sure the coaching staff loves his size, loves his ability, but just wants him to play a certain way, and he probably sees it a different way. And that clash happens a lot in professional sports. I just think it's unfortunate because James is a great guy. He's a very good basketball player. He's just in a situation where he hasn't gotten the opportunity that he feels he deserves, and voicing it that way is probably going to create more issues than help him.
Sherman Hamilton joining us, Brady and Walker. So, yeah, I saw you're at Sherman Hamilton on Twitter. I saw you retweeted the picture of you and Paul Jones and Dikembe Mutombo. Paul Jones is standing on a box, isn't he? Like a couple phone books? Come on. He's up to Mutombo's shoulders. That's ridiculous.
Hey, I'm not much better, but the reality is that's a long dude.
That's a long, long finger to wag. I don't know. Someone should bring back the finger wag, but I don't think anybody has as long a finger as him in the NBA right now. So
that's a technical foul right away. He can't do much in the NBA.
You can't have fun like that. You can't have the taunting. Hey, enjoy the U.S. Thanksgiving. Tons of basketball tomorrow. There's none tonight, but hopefully it's a great long weekend for you. Thanks for this.
Thanks a lot. You enjoy the day as well.
Sherm Hamilton, former Canadian international, suiting up for Team Canada in Sydney 2000. You can catch him on NBA TV. We'll talk more about the James Johnson thing. I know he retracted it on Twitter, but Sherm said it. You know, once it's out there, it's out there. A 7-7 game, 8 minutes to go in the first half. Lions, Eagles in Detroit Ford Field. Against our better judgment, Andrew Walker at that game at Ford Field will join us in about 45 minutes. No, like against any judgment. Forget the better judgment, period. There's no judgment utilized in putting Andrew on the air. And we'll need the kind of delay that Slash and Duff McKagan had at the American Music Awards that year. We just will. We'll update more NFL coming up. Randall the Handle, co-host of The Bottom Line. By the way, the Lions' Golden Tate, a touchdown pass from Matt Stafford, who, you know, still a pretty good quarterback the last few weeks. Someone needs to tell again our producer, J.D. Bunkus, that. Thanks, Matt. Hey, Matt Hasselbeck's an upgrade on everybody in the league, apparently. That's coming up. Lots more. Best and worst, Brady and Walker, on your Thanksgiving Thursday in the U.S. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more Brady and Walker on your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Fan.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
It's like asking for pumpkin pie and getting grandma's fruitcake. What happened here? All right. You don't think Bob Seger's shakedown, like Bob Seger's the most noted Detroit Piston fan, you don't think Kevin Durant would go up to him and go, "Oh my God, I loved how they used your song in Risky Business when I was minus 9 years old"? No. I'm getting blank stares about Risky Business. The apocalypse is upon us. 14-7 Lions over the Philadelphia Eagles. 6:36 towards the half. There's Matt Stafford. Another brilliant pass. God, nothing makes me... like, I don't want to throw down with people except when comparing NFL quarterbacks. There's nobody... I don't respect other people's NFL quarterback opinions. It's the thing that drives me the craziest in all of sports. I will admit, I was a long time coming on Tony Romo, but he improved. They put better personnel around him, better coaching. Tony Romo with Jason Garrett's been better than Tony Romo with Wade Phillips. He's not getting better physically. It wasn't a Jessica Simpson curse. He just moved on and got better personnel. Okay? 14-7 Lions, as mentioned. Later on Sportsnet, Carolina and Dallas. Later on Sportsnet, even later, is the Bears and Packers game from Lambeau Field. They'll honor Brett Favre there. Really quick note before we get to Randall the Handle about Johnny Manziel. We talked about him yesterday on the show. We were talking a little bit about, you know, how there's a little bit of a difference between a dependency in terms of an addiction and a brain disease, okay? Some people do pass it off as, oh, can't help myself. Oh, my heavens. I know I shouldn't have spent, Jenny's college tuition at Foxwoods Casino, but I just didn't, you know, I can't control myself. But if you win, you're pretty happy, right? You don't feel just as bad if you win. The Browns benched Johnny Manziel after a video came up of him partying in Austin, Texas, where all his bros hang out over the bye weekend. Mike Pettine explains late yesterday. He explained that yesterday. It comes out today. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network says the Browns asked Manziel about the video, and he says, "That's an old video." That's not. try that with your wife sometime. "Honey, what's this and who's this with the garter belt and stuff?" "Oh, that's from like 1993. I didn't meet you till 4. Try that. You got the same haircut you had last week. Doesn't work. So Jay Glazer noted that on the Fox pregame show, too. Manziel lied about how old the video was, asked friends to lie about it also. So there's, yes, you're drinking and partying, and you are trying to get rehabbed for an alleged addiction to alcohol, if that's what he went for. And you're also lying. Like, again, the accountability thing. You don't owe people. You don't owe anybody a second chance. You ever hear somebody say, I believe in second chances? Do something utterly heinous, and you don't get a second chance. Now, he's had a lot more than two chances in Cleveland. I don't know where it goes from here. I don't think he's... The CFL would be a wonderful place for Johnny Manziel. I can't be the first person to think that. Randall the Handle joins us now, co-host of The Bottom Line. How's it, Johnny Manziel, next quarterback of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. You liked, how much trouble can you get in Winnipeg in a non-Grey Cup week, right?
Well, we've seen other guys come up here that were troubled, and they stay troubled, and then they disappear.
That's true.
This is not where they want to end up, I think, and especially a guy like Johnny Manziel, because he's kind of a spoiled rich kid on top of it.
Did you say right away when they drafted Manziel? Remember, I don't know which broadcast you were watching the night of the NFL draft, but John Gruden was chastising teams for not taking Manziel until he fell all the way to Cleveland. Dallas ignored him. What a nightmare that would have been. He would have been playing this year instead of Tony Romo, or not playing this year. Getting him in his home state, what a terrible environment that would have been for him.
That's probably why I mute John Gruden nights, because I can't listen to the guy. I just can't, and I don't respect what he says. But, I mean, yeah, listen, hindsight's 20/20. It was the owner's call. Obviously, Derek Carr looks to be the best of the first-round quarterbacks who went after Teddy Bridgewater, who, you know, I think the jury's still out on Teddy, but you'd certainly rather have either of those guys than Johnny Manziel right now.
Your picks are in the Toronto Sun tomorrow. We've talked about this a lot. Andrew and I did before he left to go to. He's at the Eagles-Lions game right now. Lions leading 14-7 in the second quarter. Is there utter disrespect for Carolina? I don't know when the last time and Dallas has Romo back, and they haven't lost with Romo, but they've only played three times and squeaked by in a couple of the games. So a 10-0 team being an underdog against a 3-7 team, no matter where the game is. Have you ever seen that?
Well, it's funny. Chicago came into Dallas a bunch of years ago in 85, and they were 10-0 as well, and they were a 2-point underdog to Dallas.
Wow.
Final score of that game was 44-0 Bears when they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Do you know, were they a favorite in that Miami Monday night game when they lost? Maybe they weren't.
No.
Miami, Marino and the Dolphins would have been favored against, because the Bears by that point were like 12-0, 13-0, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think that they were.
Wow.
But, you know, that's 30 years ago. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dallas, is this the right, is the play, the obvious thing is that a lot of money goes to Dallas. People like their Thanksgiving memories. People remember how many times they'd whip teams with Aikman, Irvin, and Smith, or before that with your Danny Whites and Roger Staubachs. Why did the money go to Dallas in the first place?
Well, let's not forget, Greg, there's one objective of the line, and that's to get two-way action. And you can, you know, yeah, it's a bit of a slap. I mean, they've won 14 straight regular season games, the Panthers, and now they're playing a 3-7 Dallas club. But we all know why they're 3-7, or, you know, thereabouts, because obviously the Romo factor. But at the end of the day, they're getting two-way action. It opened with Dallas as a small favorite. Everyone went, whoa, what's this? They jumped on Carolina, and then they kind of came back and said, you know what? Dallas at home just has to win this game, and their backs are to the wall, and Carolina's kind of in a cozy position atop the NFC South. Yeah, well, let's bet Dallas. So, you know, they're getting what they set out to do, and that's the purpose. It's not an opinion on the game. It's where the money will fall evenly.
Randall the Handle's our guest. Bears about 8.5 somewhere. Maybe it shifted more towards a lower number against Green Bay at Lambeau Field tonight, that game on Sportsnet. That extra point or so is tricky, right? A lot of people would be right in there with 6.5, 7 points. But the Bears generally haven't lost too many blowouts. And we all know everybody that picked the Packers in survival pools in week one know Chicago gave them a real good go. But Jay Cutler doesn't play very well at Lambeau Field, does he?
No, he doesn't typically, but he seems more comfortable than he ever has under, pardon me, Adam Gase as the offensive coordinator. And we've seen an improvement in him, like you touched on Romo, where he had to kind of win you over. I think Cutler's sort of a Romo type of character. I mean, he can throw a football. And I also think if Jay Cutler got cut tomorrow, there'd be 20 teams that would pick the guy up. I mean, they need Forte and they need Jeffrey. But I'm not willing to lay these points right now with Green Bay, especially off a huge win against Minnesota. I mean, it's a big game because they're going to have all that hoopla surrounding Brett Favre and all that stuff. But I think it's a lot of points. Like you just said, Chicago's played in every one of their games. They lost by two to Denver. They beat St. Louis as a seven-point underdog. They've been in all their games after that Seattle blowout. They haven't lost a game by more than 3 points in weeks.
One that's intriguing is Buffalo. I think people give them valiant effort, but the offense didn't look great against New England. And I've heard enough people in Buffalo sort of more down on Tyrod Taylor, though he's 5-3 as a starter after that game because he couldn't make the 2-minute offense click at any point in time when they really need to hustle and get points in the fourth quarter. Kansas City's giving up 19 points a game all year, and they're playing better than ever. They have a cupcake schedule. They're a 6-point favorite. The teams have the same record.
Yeah, I mean, this one, and I write about it tomorrow. I mean, Buffalo goes to New England, and they're a 7-point underdog. And now they go to Kansas City, and it's up to 6.5 right now. Mm. They're a 6.5-point underdog. That doesn't compute in my mind. I mean, how can they be the same in New England as they are in Kansas City? What would Kansas City be in New England? They'd have to be a 6-point underdog, I would think.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't see how you make Kansas City a 6.5-point favorite. Now, Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I don't think the guy's great. I mean, but the thing is, he's not making a lot of mistakes. And that's crucial at that position, especially, you know, when you're cutting your teeth, so to speak, even though he's been around a few years. That game should be a pretty close game simply because they're both going to try to grind it out. I just think it's a lot of points. And I know the Chiefs are kind of appealing right now because they're killing teams.
Let's
that's a lot of points.
They are, yeah. Randall Handel joining us. He and Jory Mittelstadt have the bottom line Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock right here, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Let's get a little on the Monday nighter. Patriots and Denver. Brock Osweiler's second start. New England's on the road. Rather, that's the Sunday night game, I should say. 3-point favorite for New England on the road. They were 7 when they went to play Eli and the Giants, and there's a great track record for Coughlin and obviously Eli Manning against New England. Is this too few points? Will people be jumping all over New England at a field goal?
No, I don't think that they'll be jumping on them. I think that people realize that New England is quite beat up. I mean, they can, you know, keep throwing guys out there and next man up, and it's the Patriots, and they keep winning and so on. At the end of the day, they're missing a lot of key guys, and they're going to play a team that plays good defense. And we saw Buffalo pressure Brady with Buffalo's mediocre pass rush. It's nothing special, nothing compared to Denver. So, you know, I think they can use that as a blueprint, go after Brady. This should be a low-scoring game. This could be one of those 16-13 type of games. I know Osweiler hasn't played against Brady. It's only his second start as a pro, but Denver's offense has not been their bread and butter this year. It's been their defense, and 3 points at home in Denver might be a good spot for the Broncos, although people don't like to go against the Patriots, especially at a short price.
Sunday morning, and you're in the Toronto Sun tomorrow. I'll let you get back to your TV. Matt Stafford's looking like Gary Danielson in his prime in 1978 in the five-team NFC Central. There's no question. The Lions are driving again up 17-7. Thanks, Randall.
Have a great one.
Randall Handel joining us, the Brady and Walker. Let's do best and worst from last night in a busy
best
night in sports.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah,
and worst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Wait. Well, okay. I suppose Kirsten. Yeah, okay. I mean, Wimbledon, that did it for me. It was pretty obvious she couldn't play any tennis. Like, that was worse than D'Annunzio golfing in Caddyshack. Best win, Chicago Blackhawks. They're good. They're a good team. 5-2. The San Jose Sharks have one of those games where they go out and win a 6-game road trip, come back home, settle in. Hey, my wife. Hey, the kids. Where'd the legs go? 5-2. The Blackhawks pound them. Patrick Kane continues on. We may be talking, regardless of your thoughts about the transgressions in August, September, alleged and otherwise, a Hart Trophy season for Patrick Kane. 17-game point streak. They win and win easily. 5-2. Worst loss, let's give it to the Edmonton Oilers, both because the Oilers are a little bit of a traveling road show. If you like hockey, even without McDavid, they should be fun to watch and fun to go to. So they're going to a lot of cities for the only time. They played terribly last night against Carolina. Anders Nielsen, awful in net. They lose Nail Yakupov for 2 to 4 weeks. Bad loss against the Canes. Best player, how about Radim Vrbata? He's going to have to score. The Canes can't do everything, and he gets 2 last night in Minnesota. The Canucks had a lot of results go against them on their long trip. They were here. They were in Buffalo. They were in Montreal, right? Game that they probably outplayed the Habs in. They finally get a result last night. And we give worst player to Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat. Just 2 points. 1 for 9 shooting. Was he watching Kobe for the night before? In 23 minutes. 2 o'clock hour next. Elliot Friedman, Andrew Walker, and something guys think they can do, but they probably can't. It's Brady and Walker. More next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.